Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the first half of Romans 13. Once upon a time, in the old world of long ago, there was a nation of frogs. The frogs lived in a marsh, a swamp, and they coexisted in peace, harmony, and mutual contentment. They were free to live with one another as they pleased. And so it went until one day they looked beyond their marshy habitat and saw that the other creatures in the world had something different. The other creatures had kings to govern them, rulers to oversee and regulate their lives. And the frogs considered this. They discussed it amongst themselves, and they grew discontented with their situation. Finally, they decided that they too desired a king to rule over them. And so they called upon Zeus to send them a king. Well, Zeus heard the frogs and their request. He considered the matter and decided to throw down a large log. Zeus was a god who liked to throw things. He threw down a log, making a huge splash in the marsh. That would give the frogs something else to think about for a while. Well, after their fear had subsided, the frogs made fun of the log. It just laid there in the marsh and did nothing. They climbed on top of it and sunned themselves for a while. But soon they wanted a king again and cried out to Zeus, demanding that he send one to rule over them. Zeus heard the frogs, he considered the matter, and this time he decided to send them a stork. The stork came down to the marsh and picked off the frogs and devoured them one by one. And so it goes. Is there a moral to the story? Well, that story, which may or may not bear any resemblance to our own social political context, is one of Aesop's fables. Martin Luther referred to it in a number of his writings, perhaps most memorably in his 1523 treatise on secular authority. Luther there explains that because the world is a dangerous place filled with sin and evil, God established his kingdom of the world, his left-hand rule, to curb wickedness, to protect life, and punish lawlessness. Luther's punchline, frogs need storks. But what about the storks? What do you do when you are ruled by storks? How do you respond? This is a problem not merely of Aesop's time or of Luther's, but of our own time. In our reading from Romans 13, Paul's message is simple and clear. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Those resisting the authorities God has appointed will incur judgment. They are God's servants for our good. They do not bear the sword in vain. They carry out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. It is the will of God, his law, that we be subject to the governing authorities in this world. The world is a dangerous place filled with sin and evil. Hatred and violence are everywhere. Murder and mayhem. Gross corruptions of the created order of things. Things that shock and dismay and frighten us every day. What about the storks? Some storks govern well. Some are honest and just and uphold the laws. Some protect the innocent and punish the wicked. Some oppose evil forces in the world and try to preserve peace and order. Some risk their lives every day. Some lay down their lives to protect others. But what about storks? Some are dishonest and unjust and defy the law of the land and the law of God. Some storks are tyrants, serving only themselves. Some lie and cheat and steal every single day, holding a press conference to deliver a daily dose of deceit. Some punish the innocent. Some slaughter the innocent and protect and reward the wicked. They mock and threaten those who do what is right and just. They pervert justice, encourage destruction. Some storks are advocates for sin and evil. But what do we expect of storks? For his part, Luther didn't think much of them. He wrote this about them in 1523. He refers to them here as princes. You must know that from the beginning of the world, a wise prince is a rare bird indeed. Still more so, a pious prince. They are usually the greatest fools or the worst knaves on earth. Therefore, one must constantly expect the worst from them and look for little good from them, especially in divine matters which concern the salvation of souls. They are God's jailers and hangmen, and his divine wrath needs them to punish the wicked and preserve outward peace. If a prince becomes wise, pious, or a Christian, it is one of the great wonders, one of the most precious tokens of divine grace upon that land. The world is too wicked and does not deserve to have many wise and pious princes. Frogs need storks. And so it goes with the world and life in it. And this is where the Apostle Paul has something to say to us today about how we are to regard these leaders. God has established governing authorities to protect life against destructive forces. This power is God's servant. And when the authorities do this protective service, being subject to them is relatively easy. But what do we do when the governing authorities do not serve the purposes for which God intended? What is our response when the governing authorities become the destructive force from which they are supposed to protect us? When we look at our nation, when we look at the nations of the world, what do we see? Well, there are at times honest and just rulers, and we can see them. But we also see rulers that are not protecting life as they should. Some rulers are destroying agents, if not forces of evil. And we see wars and threats of war, nation against nation, leading to devastation. We see injustice and crime and persecution. And yet, Paul tells us that we are to be subject to the governing authorities appointed over us. More than that, he tells us that we are to respect them and to honor them. In this section of Romans, especially as we look back to the previous chapter, Paul is teaching us how to be people of God in this world. He describes for us what it means to live a life renewed in Christ. It is a life of faith. It is a life of love. It is a life of rejoicing in hope, even in the midst of tribulation and suffering. And in chapter 13, Paul explains what it means to live within the orders of this world and under its authorities. As Christians, we live in the new world, the new kingdom of God, even while we still carry on in the old world. We are in Christ and are reckoned righteous by the gospel. We are free from the condemnation of the law. And yet we are still subject to the civil law and its authorities in this world. But as Christians, we are not to conform to the ways and the mindset of this old world. We are to live according to God's will, in subjection to the authorities of this world, even while it may be difficult. Sometimes it seems outrageous that we Christians should be subject to, respect, and honor the authority that governs us. And then we can remember our own sin, our own lawlessness, and we realize the need for this authority, even for ourselves. Paul reminds us that this authority is from God. God has appointed the authorities that exist, and for this reason, he will have us be subject to them. We are to pay our taxes and render our revenue and respect and honor. This governing authority is God's authority. Now, this should comfort us. It should be a comfort because we know that God is looking out for us. Our hope and trust is in him. And we can see the work of God in this. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, he was contending with Emperor Nero. Roman emperors during this time were conniving and corrupt, hardly legitimate authorities. And Paul could see with his own eyes that the Roman authority was an evil perversion of the government of God. Paul, himself a Roman citizen, suffered greatly under Roman rule. He was persecuted, arrested, beaten, imprisoned. And he knew the possibility for himself and for other Christians of being put to death by Roman order. Christ himself was subject to and crucified by Roman governing authority. And yet Paul understands that these rulers are authorities only for this world. As he tells the Christians in Corinth, the rulers of this age are doomed to pass away. And while this is true, we are still living in this age, and they are still here and still in power. To see the work of God in these rulers, to see God blessing and protecting us through them, requires wisdom from God himself. We need God's revealing word to open our eyes to see that God is governing all things. He is preserving humankind for the sake of those who love him and for our good. This wisdom, this faith was revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit and now to us. And now in this life, we see with eyes of faith. We see and believe God at work in this old world, even while our life in the new world is secured. In his enduring, faithful love, God protects and preserves us in this life, this side of the cross, this side of Easter. And for this new life and for his gifts in this world which is passing away, we give God our thanks. And we go forward each day, walking by faith, living in Christ, acting as people of God according to our vocations, trusting in him until the day when Christ returns in glory, reigning as our Lord, our Savior, and our faithful King. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, preserve your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.